Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's therapy time. We do this every Friday on the show. It's time for you to release and feel good going into the weekend. Let go of what's been making you mad. Someone or something has made you mad this week. We know it. It's called life. It just happens. It presents itself. So, who or what has made you mad? We've got great prize attached. You're going to have to earn it. You have to call in and participate. Let's load up the line. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. That is our phone line driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. We've got a pair of two-day passes to the Pilgrimage Festival Saturday and Sunday, September 25th and 6th. That's at the farm at Harlandsdale in Franklin. Some of the artists that you can hear, Dave Matthews Band, the Black Keys, Maren Morris, Cage the Elephant, Tanya Tucker, Better Than Ezra, and a lot more. Great prize, but you need to tell us who or what has made you mad. Who would like to start?
I'm ready.
Go.
I've been ready for a few days.
Okay.
So we've all flown. Okay, I think we've established that on this show, and we're all familiar with Southwest Airlines and how
was that
boarding.
A question? You weren't
no,
really asking.
It was
right.
It was rhetorical. Yeah, we're all familiar with Southwest Airlines and how their boarding procedures work. Okay, you check in, you get a boarding group and a boarding position. That's how you get on the plane. Okay, very simple, easy process. So I'm coming back from Vegas. My buddy Rick and I, we're right there together, same boarding position, and we're standing in line.
You're coming back from Vegas?
Coming back from Vegas.
Okay. Are we feeling good at this point, you and Rick? I mean, was on the trip.
Rick's feeling great.
You did have shirts on, correct?
We had shirts.
Okay, good.
It was a little rough from that standpoint, but we're feeling
okay,
all right.
Okay, but you're feeling all right, though. You're over.
I'm feeling maybe a little worse than him from a physical standpoint and from a beverage intake standpoint the night before, but
okay.
Hanging in there.
Okay, you're hanging in.
Yeah. So we're standing there to board. They call our group. Everybody's in line. You're asking people around you, like, hey, what number are you? What number are you? Okay, cool. Yeah,
trying to get in the right batting order.
We're good.
You don't want to bat out of order.
The process starts. We start moving through the line. And then, bam, here comes two people screeching up through the line. Just go. Boom. There they are. There's my cat. They come just screeching up through the line. And I'm like, what just happened? And they get in between Rick and I. Like, Ricky has scanned his, and these two people, it's just bam, bam, scan their boarding pass before anybody can, like, realize what just happened. And I'm kind of like, huh? And the gate agent doesn't really do anything, doesn't say anything. And I happen to look down at the phone, because their process was not super quick. Like, she scanned hers and then she had to flip to the guys and scan his. And I saw their boarding position was well behind where we were.
Are you serious?
Well behind where we were.
Are you in the A group, B group, C group? What are you in?
C group at this point.
You're in C group, and so, they're so well
the pickings
behind
are
you?
Meager.
Yes. They were that we were early C group. They were like in the 20s, late 20s.
So they're trying to make a play to sit together or not get stuck in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, they've made the play. Like, they just cut in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they can run for it.
And
they know there's limited seating available.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to not get in the middle.
They're going to be at the back of the plane,
which is where I'm going to be too. But
right. But that's
fine.
Right. That's what it is.
That's what you get. Your C group. So they make a huge run, cut all these people. They're on the list for that, because that's a BS move.
You just made the list.
Is this a couple?
Yes.
Okay.
They're further on the list because it's like they know exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of look at the gate agent. I'm like, what are we doing?
We both see what's happening here.
Yeah. Right. And like, why have you not enforced this? So
right.
The gate agent is on the list for no enforcement.
Okay. You need Tom Wilson there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just made the list.
So I'm like, what are we doing? So I'm heated. I'm heated. And I'm walking down the jetway, and I see Ricky like turn around and look for me, you know, because we've been separated now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, did that really just happen? And they turn around and they just kind of look at me and just kind of have this grin on their face. And I'm like,
really?
I go, really? Like, are you proud of yourself? Like, you just cut a bunch of people. It's not just me. Like, it's other people.
So this conversation is taking place out loud.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a huge confrontation because I'm like, at this point, what do I do? You know, but I did. I was like, really? You're going to turn around and look at me like, you know what you did. So, you know, I'm like, I'm heated, but they get on, they get seats together. Rick and I are separated, which is we're going to sleep anyway. So it doesn't matter. But I was just like, the audacity of these people to just be so blatant about it. Like, I'm not condoning it either way, but I've seen people kind of, you know, you kind of look and you just kind of find a place in line and you don't say anything and you're out of position. I've seen that happen. But to be so blatant where you just come flying up through the crowd and then you turn around and give me the, yeah, I just got you.
Yeah. That's like, not cool.
It was Bush League. It was all the adjectives you could use. Yeah. So
that was Bushy McBushy.
Yes, it was.
That's right.
Willie, you got one?
People are telling me to pay the extra $10 to $20 to move to the A boarding group. I don't want to. I don't want to pay the extra $10 or $20. Just use the system how it's supposed to be used. Don't be a jerk.
Let the chips fall.
You were fine being early C. You're just not fine with somebody 20 spots behind you jumping in front of you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And we have a text from Sir Adam from East Nashville. Just so you know.
On a related note.
Okay.
Yes. The DD and C program is on the list. I was told that the gift card had been resent to my new address. It has not arrived. Darren is obviously lying to me.
Oh, I thought he had something to add to the Southwest.
We tried to get his address. He hung up after the interview. He hung up.
We said
we're going to put you on hold. Get your new address.
Okay.
And he hung up.
This is a never-ending saga.
We may have to give the gift card to Willie, who is also on the east side.
That way,
to take it
on
to
the
east side.
Correct side of town. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Look, if that happens, like I am officially,
we missed an opportunity yesterday. We were together at the golf tournament. Yeah,
I'm out because if it goes in your hand, that gets now your responsibility.
Okay. It's big responsibility, but I can take it.
Okay,
I'll do it as a representative of the east side.
But just for Sir Adam in East Nashville, he hung up the phone. We asked him. I asked him during the interview to please hold afterwards so we can get your new address,
and he didn't. You're right.
He didn't. He just plopped down the phone. Just hung
always
up.
Something. It's always something.
He hit end.
So now we got to guess where he lives, and now we send that gift card out.
And
it could be anyone's right now.
Right, we're back to square one.
Elijah's going to spend his Friday night walking through East Nashville, knocking on doors, looking for Adam.
I'm going to use my messenger pigeon if he doesn't get it here soon. I mean, hasn't been around a while. It's not very good with direction, but I mean, he can deliver stuff. So at that point, it's off our hands.
You have to upgrade from the pigeon to the owl from Harry Potter, you know, the messenger owl, you know. Upgrade.
We're in a pandemic, William, cutting costs here.
That's right. So, yeah, stick with the pigeon. All right. This is an old guy rant, you know, lamenting of the days of the past. But on the list, the fragmentation of how we watch great TV shows, right? Because this is what happens. There's two things that had me come to this. I was in the mode of looking. I went down a rabbit hole looking up 70s TV characters. And I was thinking, oh, remember this guy? Remember that woman? Remember this show? All this stuff. And I was like, isn't this great? And, of course, back then, pre-cable, everybody's watching the same shows, right? Everybody knew who George Jefferson was.
Sure.
Right? Everybody knew who JJ was from Good Times. But now you got a lot of great shows, and you're like, hey, that was like JJ. And the person looks at you like, well, what show are you talking about? Well, that's you know, Third Rock from the Sun, or 30 Rock, or you know, Young Sheldon, or you're like, and you know, it's so fragmented. We all, there's a lot of people that love these particular shows, and they're great shows, but there's a really good chance that the person you're talking to doesn't know who that character is.
Sure.
Right?
I have no idea where you're going with this. Who or what do you put on the list?
Well, okay, so right now I am way into a show on HBO. It's called Mayor from Easttown.
Okay.
Great show.
I've not seen it on HBO.
Kate Winslet. Yeah, Kate Winslet is the lead person. She's a detective. Cool character. Got all kinds of issues. Trying to solve a murder. Hometown. It's really well done. Great cast. Good stuff. And like, when somebody says, hey, are you watching any good shows? Like, yeah, man, Mayor from Easttown. It's awesome. It just, oh, I don't get HBO. It's just you lose that connection, right? Whereas in the past, it's like you had three channels or four, you know, four channels, whatever it was, and everybody's watching the same show.
Let me get this straight. You're putting cable, like all of
fragmentation,
our channels on the list.
We're so fragmented now, and we've lost something.
Okay.
That's definitely an old guy rant.
Yeah, no,
it's an old guy rant.
Willie just put the 21st century on the list.
Do we need to take a break so you can take a nap and eat dinner? I mean, what was that? What?
I've got dinner scheduled for 4:45.
That's good. I'm glad you put your teeth in.
We've got options, and you're what?
We got
you want
too
us
many
to have
options.
Three channels again so we can all watch
like,
the same thing?
I feel
thing?
Like I'm missing out on a lot of shows.
Now listen here, Sonny. Back in my day, we had the rabbit ears.
We all watch the same shows.
Well, it happens to me the other way, too. Somebody will say, hey, we've got these two people, like three-person conversation. Two people are talking about a great show that they watch. I'm like, I don't get that. I don't have Hulu or whatever, you know, or Amazon Prime or, you know.
But the shows
there's
are
so many fragmentations. We don't have even access to these shows. Even if we want to watch, you got to go get a whole new service to get the show.
Gosh, it's just BS that we've got all these options. It's just terrible.
Fragmentation.
Is that what you're... Okay, is it fragmentation or you're saying there are now way too many options and that's what
no,
is...
No, fragmentation and that's on the list. Fragmentation's on the list.
You just made the list!
Is Stanley in the window back there? I thought I saw something in the window.
He's over there. Stanley. Yeah, he just came. Yeah.
Wow.
Hi, Stanley.
He's right over there.
Hey, take out your teeth and clean them while I do that. This one's an oldie but a goodie. It happened again the last couple times I've done this, and I'm like, come on, folks. Manners, it doesn't take much. When you hold the door open for somebody going into a place, can you not at least acknowledge it? Just say something. I mean, can you nod your head? Can you acknowledge it? Can you say thanks? I mean, anybody who ever does this, it takes a second. I always acknowledge them. It's not too much to ask. Like, just to walk in and not say a word to a total stranger that's holding the door for you before they just, instead of them just opening their door and walking in front of you and having the door slam halfway in front of you, can you not just, it takes 1 second to acknowledge them? Like, really? You don't even say a word? You just blow by them and literally not say a word? I don't understand that. Like, how hard is that? Honestly, like, fake it. How hard is it to say, just like I said, any acknowledgement, even a nod, a smile, but just no reaction, deadpan, blow by, nothing? That's happened the last two times I've done it. And I'm like, really?
Like, too straight, huh?
You needed to get in there that much. Like, by the way, you can do both. You can still walk. And, like, in your current strides, you can still acknowledge. Like, you can nod, you can smile, you can say thank you or thanks, and never miss a beat. But just a blow by, no reaction, no eye contact, no nothing, not say a word. Those people that do that.
You just made the list.
And the other one is for me. Yesterday, I put myself on the list. We had a nice meeting yesterday after... We were at the Grove, and we all met at a place in Cool Springs, and I put in the wrong address. I'd never been to this place. I didn't even know that it was open, so I'd never been there, and so I didn't know where exactly it was. Cool Springs kind of a big place, that area, And I put in the wrong address in my GPS and got totally lost. I ended up calling Chase, and I was out in the cow fields. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. I'm not even sure if I'm in the same county anymore. So I was late to our meeting. And so, therefore, I'm putting myself on the list.
You just made the list.
Self-reporting. Self-reporting is good.
This is what I don't understand, Darren. You're going to Cool Springs. This meeting was not out in the cow fields. You were coming from
I was listening to GPS.
You were going to Cool Springs. You couldn't find your way to Cool Springs and then try to narrow it down?
No, it was not going to take. It was not going to take me there. I put in – clearly, I put in the wrong thing. I don't know what I did wrong. I just typed in the address that
was
sent to us.
Okay, but once you're not getting to 65 South, like after just a few minutes from where we were, like, didn't your brain – forget about your GPS. Didn't you have something in your head saying
– I ignored it
not right
many
here.
Times. I was going, no. Like Chase knows. Like we pulled out of the Grove and I went right because it was telling me to go right. I'm like, no, why?
I went left.
And you went left, and I know left is the way to go. And I'm like, no. By the way, I went down that way, and I was like, I'm turning around. Like, what am I doing? Like, what? This is wrong. And so I kept ignoring it, and then eventually I caved because it's like, get off here, get off here. What are you doing? Get off here. You know, recalculate. It's like, what are you doing? And finally, I caved, and I got off the exit, and I'm like out driving in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I? And then I see cows, and I'm like, this is not the way to Cool Springs. Like, what am I doing? So I'm putting myself. I self-reported. That was just
people have been texting. We got one that says, what's next, Willie? Electricity and indoor plumbing. So Willie get the rant there. I'll say this.
You could get so much more done going out to the outhouse, right? You could get a lot more work done out there. It would be private. You're left alone.
Think about how much water you save.
It's a lot of water.
I'm just saying you gain something, you lose something. That's fragmentation. We've lost something there. That's what's on the list for me.
And Darren, to yours on holding the door, I kid you not. Because I'm raised in the South, so I was told to hold the door, you know, from a very early age. I kid you not. I held the door for a young lady one time, and she turned and looked at me and said, I am perfectly capable of opening my own door.
Wow.
Ooh. And I was like, huh?
Wow.
Like, you're getting mad at me for doing something nice?
That's not
like,
supposed to be the routine there.
Wow. Like, now that's by the way, that's another level.
That's
taking it to another level.
Total rejection.
It's like, okay.
Like, basically, she said, how dare you?
Yeah. like, listen, I...
Hey, at least she acknowledged you.
There you go.
Let's go to Josh. Josh, who or what is on your list?
We went out the next night.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Good.
All right, so Memphis Grizzlies, that's who made my list. So I made a little friendly wager on FanDuel of Saturday of last week, 10-team parlay pick. Money line hit 9 out of 10. Memphis favored by 11.5 points.
Oh.
Okay, that's last Saturday. Yesterday, I made it the same little 10-team parlay. I took the money line. Memphis favored by 14 at the beginning, and I think it dropped down to 9 because everybody was jumping on the Memphis wagon. Only team to lose both times, Memphis Grizzlies.
No.
Man,
would have paid $5 wager, would have paid out $2,000. Both times, over $2,000. And I know it's a small rant, but Lord, I have been a Memphis fan since I've been in Nashville, since they came to Nashville, Memphis-wise, but, you know, I've been a Memphis fan since they came to Memphis. And just saying, I hardly ever bet on the home teams because I have that type of look that if I bet on them, they don't win. And both times they let me down. Memphis done let me down again, man, two times in the past week.
Ooh.
You just made the list.
Yeah, that
thank
deserves
you, fellas.
Thank you, Josh. That I don't even know what to say.
That hurts. Yikes.
Games they needed to win, too. Like, the Grizzlies need to win to avoid slipping out of this play, playoff play-in tournament. They needed to win those, too.
Money line. Oh,
are they still having the play-in tournament? I thought LeBron was pissed about it. They
thought they changed it.
Yeah, they haven't succumbed to his will yet.
I don't like that. I don't like it.
Let's go to Mike in Gallatin. Mike, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. So I work in catering, and over the last few days, we've had it's Cinco de Mayo on Wednesday, and I've had kind of three straight Cinco de Mayos, if you want to do it that way, because we're running some sort of promotion. And over the next 3 days, including today, I had worked 44 hours in those 3 days. So mind you, I'm in my third day of that amount of hours, so I'm pretty tired as it is. So I get to work at 6 o'clock in the morning because we have a delivery for 9 o'clock. It's for 175 people worth of food. So we're talking about a whole lot of food that we are getting up early to do. My next order is not till 11:30 or later, so technically I'm coming in a lot earlier just for this one order, right? So I am packing up my car. I have all the food prepped and ready to go, and with 10 minutes to spare before I'm supposed to leave, they call and want to push the order to a later time.
Oh.
You're talking about $2,000 worth of food that you specifically had to call and get a finite window of time to set up and deliver the food. Like, if you want before 10:45, you have to request it and get it approved from upper management to be able to do this. So I'm coming in and I'm working a 15-hour day today when I could have got 3 more hours of sleep because you wanted your $2,000 worth of tacos at 9 o'clock in the morning. So now they're wanting it at 10:30, and that now backs up with all my other orders. I'm in Smyrna traffic, stuck in that Smyrna Murfreesboro construction area, and just every single other order is either going to be right on time or slightly late because you didn't make your requested time slot work out for you, even though you had to get it approved by my manager to do that.
Mike, so I am this is why we have this. This is why we're here for you. So you can vent
for
this.
For the money, I am thankful for the opportunity. I busted my ass and I made it work, and the customer, you know, it will get another order from them. But man, 2 hours of sleep with me, I would not be yelling at the phone right now. I would be just like, you know, grumbling at the phone.
So it just feels good to release it.
Yeah, I need a rest, and I need a margarita, and all sorts of stuff. So,
Mike, I'm going to give you some advice because, you know, you know my history. I'm not saying that I've ever done this, but you might want to add a PIA on the side to their bill. In the ass. That's what that is.
It was honestly to the point where, with that big order, that they were going to come and pick it up at the store. If they would have come to pick it up at the store, it would have been on the front step of the restaurant, and we would have walked them in there. We were pissed.
I don't
Mike,
blame you.
If you swing by my place in Smyrna, I'll make you a margarita, man. You deserve it. I got plenty to make.
I'm over here stuck on Sam Ridley Parkway. So, I mean, at this point, your show's over at 2 o'clock, right?
2 o'clock,
I'll be there, so.
All right. I'll have a margarita waiting for you, man, and I'll join you.
All right. Whoa. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers.
You just made the list.
Wow. That's brutal. That is brutal. By the way, these have been really good. Like, both of these, like, you can feel them. Like, there's not even much to say.
Do we have to stop? Wow. Do we have more?
Chris, who or what is on your list?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to tell D-Mac congratulations because he's batting 1,000 because he's on my list, too.
Oh, wow. Okay, what did I do?
Oh!
I'm just kidding. Actually, you're in a group of people on my list. I just have had it with a lot of the Duchesne, I won't call them haters, but people who are down on Duchesne. I get it. Trust me. I've been critical of him. It's a very expensive slump to be in. I get it. But, you know, let's not be so quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, look how much talent that guy's got. Yes, he's in the slump. He, you can tell he's a huge difference between Turris and him. I mean, you could tell Turris, he just wasn't getting it. He just looked like he didn't care. I'm sure he cared, but he just looked like he didn't care. You can see it in Duchesne's demeanor on the ice and in his interviews that he wants to not be in this situation.
Agreed.
So,
well, first of all, let me just say this, Chris. I hope you're not putting me in. Duchesne hater is what? Well, that is really, really extreme. I am far from that.
I would just say people are down on Duchesne. I don't think there's any Duchesne.
But you don't think that's actually. You don't think that's relevant? Like, you don't think there's a reason to be down? I mean, he is getting paid to produce. He's not producing.
Exactly. But I think that, I don't know, just to me, there's something different about this guy. He okay. wants to be here. He
I agree with that.
He wants to be with this team. And I think that whether or not he shows it in the playoffs, I don't know. But I guarantee you, I would bet a paycheck on this, that next year he comes back. He's worked on mechanics over the offseason. He's, who knows, worked on his mental mindset. Who knows? But he's going to be back next year, and he'll do better. I mean, look at what happened with Granlund. He came in here and didn't do squat last year and then part of this year, and then he just turned it on. I firmly believe that that will happen with Duchesne times 10.
So well, let me just say this. I'm not comparing him to Kyle Turris as in this is what – he's hit a wall and it's like it feels like it's at the end. I was saying it's feeling a lot like that situation of I feel like they're trying to do anything and everything to get them going – and it's not working. That's the only reason. That's the only comparison. I'm not comparing their two body of works. You know, I'm not saying Duchesne's at a wall or he's at the end of his career. I'm saying I feel like they tried anything and everything. I know they did with Kyle Turris. I mean everything, and they just couldn't fix it. And I know they're trying to fix the Duchesne thing. And I'm not saying they're at the end. There's probably more things, but right now it's starting to feel like the same thing. Like they're trying anything and everything to get him going, and currently it's not working.
Right, I agree, and I just think this is something we set on. We don't do any trades. We just see what happens next year. So,
yeah, all right.
Anyway,
appreciate
thanks, guys.
It. Feel better?
I do feel better.
Good,
thank
good. All right, thanks. That's the point of this. The point is to feel better. That's why we do this. Nate, who or what is on your list?
The officials for the Red Wings-Bolts game on Sunday.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all saw this, but the Bolts had two guys in the box, and the officials for that game couldn't figure out who was supposed to come out. So Kawarn jumps out of the box, and immediately the officials blow the play dead to figure out if that was right. As an official, aren't you supposed to know who's coming in and out of the game? Especially when all the information is on the scoreboard. Not to mention, there's a guy in the box taking notes and stuff. Wouldn't he start kind of banging on the door or yelling at the officials? So for the officials who don't want to actively change games, but forget who is supposed to come out of the box, you just made the list.
You just made the list!
I did not see that, so I'm not sure I know what he's talking about on that. Is that the was that the 1-0 game? Or was that the other game?
I think Sunday was the 2-1.
Okay.
Tampa won 2-1.
Oh, that was the Tampa win, right? They lost 1-0. I think it was what, in a shootout the other game. Okay.
Usually the players know who's supposed to come out.
I was gonna say that's Willie, you just took the words.
And
that's
there's
exactly
a guy,
what I was
and there is
say.
A guy sitting
shouldn't
in there.
Shouldn't the player know?
There and who's the guy to the guy out? Is sitting in the penalty box who's got a clipboard there. He should be keeping track of that too. Now, if it's Rangers Washington the other day when they had, it would look like that game between the Predators and Jets years
that's
ago.
That's a little bit. No, it was worse. Yeah, that's a little bit different.
Literally running out of room in the penalty box. That's a whole different story. But if there's only two, you got to figure out. You only got two choices. One of them should be pretty ready to go.
Let's go to Gary. Gary,
I was here
what's
first.
On your list?
Yeah. So the Preds and the Junior Preds organization. The other night on the broadcast, there was the was it U19 ladies junior preds that went to the national championship game, but maybe were the runner up or the finalist or whatever, and didn't win the game.
Lost in the finals.
Yeah. So, and you know, we're saying that was the best national championship result. That's not true. The junior preds, either their third or fourth year in existence, back in 2012. They were the U-12s at the time. The birth year 99 double A's. They actually won a national championship. So next year, it'll be a 10-year anniversary of a Nashville Junior Predator team winning a USA Hockey national championship.
What do you think that was acknowledged in 2012?
The only mention of it. It was on, I don't know if it was, I think it might have been on the broadcast the next season. It wasn't announced during the playoffs or anything that year. But, like, they announced it, you know, the team was there the next year. But just the fact that that's kind of gotten lost, you know, the fact that there is a national championship in youth hockey in Nashville, you know, 9 years ago has gotten lost is they make the list for that.
Okay. Well, thanks for bringing it up, Gary. Thank you.
Yep.
You just made the
list.
I think
they were making a distinction between the boys and the girls. At least I think so. And it was certainly not meant to slight that team. I'd have to go back and look and see. I would think that the Predators would have recognized the Junior Preds in 2012 or whatever. Didn't he say 2012?
2012.
Was when that happened.
2012.
Yep. Let's go to Scott and Franklin, who are what's on your list.
Yeah, I called in last week when this was really top of mind, but it's still on my list this week. The Dallas Stars should not and would not be in playoff contention in any other sport. I mean, they lose 60% of their games, whereas the Predators win almost 60% of their games. It's this stupid NHL scoring system where some games are worth 2 points and some games are worth 3 points. And the Star, if this was the NFL, Nashville would be 9-7 and Dallas would be 7-9, and it would have been over long ago. But now they're not 7-9, they're 7-5-4. And they have just as many points as the 9-7 playoff team. So in no other sport do you get rewarded for losing the game. You know, you don't get extra points in basketball or football for going to overtime. In baseball, if you go to extra innings, you get the reward of your bullpen is blown for the next week. So they need to change the NHL scoring system, possibly to the 3-point system, where, you know, every game is worth 3 points and you get a point for maybe losing the shootout, and the team, you know, gets 2 points for winning a shootout. But this overtime losses stuff, you know, it is taking a bad losing team because they lose all of their games in overtime and elevated them to playoff contention where they don't belong.
Okay. All right.
You just made the list.
That's a classic argument of You shouldn't get anything for a loss.
Yeah, we'll discuss that on the other side. Adam, final caller. Who or what's on your list?
Angel Hernandez, middle league umpire for the Kansas City Royals and Cleveland Indians, for missing a blatant out, non-out call.
And what was his excuse?
Was this the scoreboard thing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now what was the quote? Do you remember?
The quote was that he didn't see the ball. He didn't see the ball.
Because? And why did he not see the ball?
Because of the lights.
The lights of what?
The little scoreboard right there on the ground.
Yeah, see, he said he was blinded by the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Which I guess could be true. I guess it could be true. I mean, I'll take his word for it, but that is a new one.
But how can everybody ump in Kansas City, no problem, but he can't do it right?
Like, there have been a lot of games played in that stadium.
You have to chalk that up to maybe consider the source, maybe?
Well, I'm not saying anything about him, but that is a new one, right? There's been a lot of games played in that stadium, and that scoreboard's been there for a while, right? Like, I was blinded by the scoreboard.
Adam,
blinded
good call.
By the scoreboard. That's a Bruce Springsteen song, right?
Oh, no.
Manfred Mann.
We will come back. More on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. That's what Angel said. Hey, don't forget to celebrate Mom this Mother's Day. It's Sunday with a gift of 1.5 hour, 1.5 hour picnic-themed-styled photo shoot at McKenzie Lee Photography at Centennial Park. Picnic setup, sips, snacks will all be included. All you have to do is enjoy a fun and beautiful park picnic with your family. You'll also receive 60 or more digital photos to remember it. Go to thegamenashville.com, the contest page, and enter to win today. So keep that in mind for Sunday. Mother's Day is Sunday. Take care of Mom. That was funny. Angel Hernandez. I mean, the guy has never been a fan favorite. Most people believe he's maybe the worst umpire in the history of the sport.
Yikes.
Some would say it. Let's talk about what was brought up. Do we think the system is broken? Do we think that there should they should change that? I mean, what do you? How do you respond? Are you okay with it? You know, the call of, hey, what other sport do you get rewarded for losing? And you do get rewarded if it happens to be past 60 minutes. You get a point. What do you think about it? I think he was hinting if it's in overtime, you should not get a point. If it's maybe in a shootout because it's maybe, you know, it was more of a gimmick, specialized, however you want to say it, to conclude a game, maybe you can. But what do you think about – let's start with – overtime loss. Should you still get a point for an overtime loss? Because when you think about it, it's 3-on-3. It's not regular hockey. It's not 5-on-5.
Well,
five.
See, and
there's
that's
so many different things you could do to change it and reward teams more for winning in regulation. For example, regulation win now is the first tiebreaker. It used to be regulation and overtime win.
Mm-hmm. Right, it was row.
Mm-hmm. Now it's RW, right
yes.
wing. But I go back and forth on this. It's tough. Here's another thing that I have thought about. You know, look at a team like Dallas, a team like Columbus. They play, you know, a tight checking system. The games tend to be lower scoring. Those are the teams that take more games to overtime. There's a reward for teams that play low-scoring games because more of them are going to go to overtime, and therefore you're going to get a point. And so if Dallas were a little bit better at overtimes, we know what the result would be. We've talked about it a lot, and the fact
a
is
lot.
That Nashville has been a lot better.
Well,
not just a little bit better, they've
they're
been a lot better.
They're tied
but
with
also
Vegas
a lot less
Colorado.
Of their games have gone to overtime.
I mean, Vegas and Edmonton, they're tied for the best in the league. They only have two overtime losses. Vegas and Edmonton the same.
So you have
meanwhile,
to remember,
Dallas is the worst, 14.
So you have to remember, this is sort of the lesser of two evils, right? Because you have that huge school of fans that are saying you should never have ties, right? You should never have ties. But for decades.
Put me in that, put me
right,
in that category.
But for decades, hockey had ties. So this was the compromise of, all right, let's get rid of the tie. But let's also reward a team for being even after 60 minutes. But other sports don't do that, right? Extra innings, you don't have a extra innings loss,
no.
Right? You don't score games like that in baseball. You don't do it in basketball. When a game goes to overtime, the winner wins and the loser loses. You don't have a – can you imagine? There was
a
year that Vanderbilt basketball
– NFL.
Vanderbilt basketball had a year when Festus Ezeli and Jeffrey Taylor and John Jenkins were there where I think they had like 7 losses for the season, but like 4 of them were in overtime. So like – if you had a hockey-looking record, the record would have looked even more stellar. But it's not how it goes in basketball.
Yeah, I get why they did it, but I am kind of in that same boat of you are getting rewarded for a loss. You know, he threw out there, do you change it to you get it if you go to a shootout? Which that I might be a little bit more on board, but as you brought up, it's 3-on-3. So both are, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but both are gimmicky. Both are not what you play through 60 minutes. You have 3-on-3, you have a shootout. So I can kind of see both sides of it. I don't like it, but I also don't like ties either. I think ties in soccer and the NFL, that's bogus. Like that shouldn't happen at this point. Find a way to end the game. But I also, you know, I don't love getting rewarded for a loss. You still lost the game. Even though it went into overtime, even though it's 3-on-3, you have these different rules, you still lost the game.
All right, okay, let me propose these two options for you guys. All right, you tell me which one would be the better option. Let's just say we conclude, we agree with the caller, and we have to change it. Would you guys vote for A, wins and losses, regardless of how you get there, end of the shootout, winner wins, loser loses, there's no points, it's wins, losses. Or would you go to 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime loss? So a 3-2-1 instead of
You're getting complicated there, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But that's the only way to change it.
Say
the only way to change it. The simplest way to do it is say wins and losses.
No, but go do your system again.
3 points for a regulation win.
Okay.
2 points if you win in overtime.
And the
1
loser
point
gets nothing.
If you lose in overtime.
Loser gets nothing?
No, loser gets 1 point.
Oh.
If the loser doesn't get anything, then you just have wins and losers, or wins and losses. So those are your two choices. So,
and then shootout winner gets
the same as overtime. I'm not creating 2-1. Another category for shootouts. It goes to overtime. Winner gets 2, loser gets 1.
So all you're doing is just incentivizing the regulation win.
Yeah, you reward teams for winning in regulation. Overtime is a separate deal. It's 2. You're dividing up the 3 points. So there's 3 points at stake every game. Winner gets 3 if you win in regulation. In overtime,
so
the 3 points
change?
Divvy up 2 and 1.
Tell me what that changes.
It rewards teams for being able to win in regulation.
But how much would that points. Change the – would that change – I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know that just off the top of my head, Dallas has gone 5-14. So they have played 19 games past 60 minutes.
So they would still
the
get –
the Predators are, what, 5-2 and 5-0. So they're 10-2. They've played 12 games past – like I would need to know – like. How many times are teams going to overtime and shootouts in a regular season, right?
A lot.
Like, what are the numbers?
Some more than others.
Is one team doing it 10 times and another team is doing it 26 times?
Sometimes.
Isn't that going to create...
Teams that play lower scoring games tend to go to overtime more because the score stays low. So forget about all that. We're changing the system. I'm giving you 2 options. Either it's all or nothing, win or loser. Or do you still want to have a similar system, but just more emphasis placed on winning the game in regulation?
Let me ask this. If I choose, just like any other sport, it's W's and L's. That's it. That's how you do the standings. It's your win-loss record. And yes, you keep track of if it's overtime for tiebreakers or whatever, but it's wins and losses. Is it still a 3-on-3 overtime?
Is it three on three and still shootouts?
Yes.
That's okay.
Because then, otherwise you would have games that go deep.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got a team that's got a game the next night.
Yes. Tampa
Bay has got to go from Tampa down to Florida tonight after the game's over. So you can't have a 5 overtime game.
I will say this, and I did not used to be this way, because when I first got into hockey, like the shootout, like cool, most exciting play in hockey, all of that. Now, I would almost prefer they do 5 minutes of 5-on-5 and then 3 minutes and then go to the 3-on-3. And then if you have to settle in, I know you're adding more time, but then settle it in the shootout. But
I'm definitely not in favor of that.
But you can see why they arrived at this conclusion.
Yes, sure.
Of either have a tie, which they used to. Okay, we don't want to have ties, but there's a distinction.
Ties.
There is a distinction in losing in a 3-on-3 or a shootout as opposed to losing in a 5-on-5. Different.
Right.
It's different.
Willie,
right?
it's a great question. I don't know what the right answer is. I really don't. I know
because I don't know if
ties.
There really is one.
You know that I was against ties. I used to. People would get. They were so furious. I always say that all the time. Rip on hockey for ties, and people would get so mad. That's just the way we do it. That's the way it's done. Oh yeah, and then it went away, and then nobody says that anymore. Nobody complains about not having ties in the sport, but I did for years. So I definitely don't want ties, but. I definitely don't want 4 overtimes on a Tuesday night in game 32 either. It's too much.
Sure.
I don't like baseball. It's
right.
too much.
But
you don't need to go 14 innings on a Monday night game 51.
But
you don't.
But baseball, they put this man on second thing in, and it's a loss just like any other loss. I think some old school people don't like that you didn't earn your way to get the guy on second base. Mm-hmm. And so that's a different way to lose. But you don't have that in the standings like you do in hockey.
I would say, even though I don't say it with the fullest of convictions, I just don't, if I had to choose, and I don't love it, but if I'm going to choose one or the other, I'd probably just go all or nothing.
Wins and losses?
Yep.
I do the same thing, and I agree with you. Like, it's – you don't feel great about it. Nothing's perfect.
I don't love it.
It's not a perfect system. But, you know, it is the system for every other sport. I mean, soccer and hockey are the only ones I know, you know, of stick and ball sports that have points. And it's a point system rather than just wins and losses. So I'm with you. I'd rather just – we're going to do it, just have it that way. Just be wins and losses. And an overtime loss is the same as a regulation loss.
So you think MLS should have some sort of shootout or something to settle games and not have draws?
That's fine. Yeah, I want ties, draws, however you want to put them. I want them gone.
Okay, so
– In no sport.
So then
no
you would have to put in a measure in soccer. Like all three of Nashville SC's games would have gone to some sort of shootout, right, or penalty kicks. So is it bonus point for the team that wins the PKs?
I mean, you can go to PKs, but like in regulation, they just have stoppage time. They don't even have like an overtime.
You could play all day and not score in a soccer game. We know
that. Well, do a 10-minute overtime period, make it sudden death, and if you have to go to PKs, then I guess do it. I hate – If you're asking me to give you a ranking system of things that I hate more, ties are going to be well at the top of the list.
How about soccer have a 5-on-5? Half court. Move a goal to midfield. Have 5-on-5. First team that scores.
I hate ties.
That's the thing. Like, soccer's done it their way for 100 years. You know?
I think I hate it the most, though, in the NFL. Like,
how about
college
they just
football
do corner kicks till somebody scores?
That could take all day.
Or goalie shootouts. Only the people that are allowed to participate in the shootout are the goalies against the goalies.
That would be funny. Have the coaches come out and take a kick. I don't know. Do something. But like in the NFL, there should not be ties. Never. Like, why is that still a thing? I'm with Donovan McNabb. I know they exist, but like come on. Like, this, it's stupid that they
Donovan
have ties.
Donovan McNabb's thing is right up there with Angel Hernandez. Remember where he's like, I didn't know you could tie. Remember was that, like, they just sort of ran the clock out and that game ended up tied? He was like, wait a minute. You can tie? I forget the exact quote, but he got absolutely
I didn't even know
blitzed.
You could tie. Yeah, that was exactly what he said.
I just had a soccer guy text me and say that Willie's idea of 5-on-5 isn't that far off.
It'd be fun.
I would be all
it's like
for
3-on-3 is
be
fun
for something that doesn't end in a tie. I agree. Sports should people give you their time and their money, and nobody wants to go home, you know, with a tie. I mean, it shouldn't happen in sports.
Like, why
there's
hasn't
there's got to be a winner and a loser?
I mean, I guess I get the argument of like with the NFL, you know, if you start on the 25, do the college try. I mean, they're going to score every time. I don't know if they will, but that they would have more of an opportunity, but move them back. So have one possession, you know, at the 25 and just keep moving back until you have a winner. I don't know, but there's got to be a way to get rid of ties.
Let's go to Drew on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew, what's up?
Hey guys. So I'm a really big English soccer fan. And so I really get the tie part of the conversation for soccer. But my question is, MLS is so far behind in talent compared to the world game and America and everything obviously wants to be first. Do you not think that – so if you develop some quirky rule of 5-on-5 overtime, or we're getting rid of ties, we're making you just play until the end, they're just going to continue to not bring in that world-level talent because no one's going to come here under that premise of, hey, this is just a random quirk that you have, and then every 4 years you're going to get to go and play in the World Cup. I think that would set the MLS back a little bit in that sense. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
All right. Thank you, Drew, for the call.
I think, Drew, that's a good point, and it would have to be a universal rule. Like, it would have to
FIFA.
Be all the other leagues.
Come from FIFA.
Yeah, and they would all have to agree that this is what we're going to do. Because to my knowledge, for the most part, MLS pretty much mirrors a lot of their rules to the world game. So I think you would have to – it would have to be a universal type.
Yeah, so it's more of a soccer philosophical question than it is an MLS question. I see that. I would be sympathetic. I guess I can see that from Drew's point of view. You wouldn't want to be gimmicky or viewed as gimmicky and looked down upon from the world soccer snobs. Right? JC, you want to be attractive to worldwide talent.
JC has a tiebreaker idea. We will do that to start the fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase, that's next.